Progress and Partners, and we have a great panel of speakers. We're going to start out looking at the national perspective and then get the perspective from several states as to how they implemented this initiative, each one starting at a different point and ending at a different point, but it'll give you a flavor, a variety of what's going out in the field. And so we're going to start with our first speaker, Dr. John Ward. Dr. Ward is Director, Division of Viral Hepatitis in the National Center for HIV/AIDS, Viral Hepatitis, STD, and TB Prevention at CDC. In addition to his work in viral hepatitis, Dr. Ward has spent 14 or more years working in the field of HIV/AIDS. He's also served as the editor of the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report, and he has authored over 100 scientific publications. So please welcome Dr. Ward.
Thank you. Thank you, Gina. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for staying here to day four of the conference, and hope you've enjoyed it over the last few days. What I'd like to do is sort of give you the national perspective as a setup to hearing more in depth about what's going on at the state and local level. I can honestly say that our division has been tremendously excited about the prospect of this initiative and how it can improve vaccine coverage among adults who are at risk for hepatitis B after so many years of having low coverage, primarily related to the cost of the vaccine in particular. Just to remind you quickly, hepatitis B is a global health problem. About 2 billion people in the world have evidence of past or current infection. About 370 million are living with chronic hepatitis B, and about up to 1 in 4 of those persons will die prematurely of liver cirrhosis or hepatocellular carcinoma. In this country, we estimate that as many as 1.4 million persons have chronic hepatitis B infection and results in 2,000 to 4,000 deaths per year. It has multiple routes of transmission, mother to child, within families, known as horizontal transmission, and among adults, primarily through sexual contact and through exposure to blood, and in the behavioral setting, through injection drug use in particular. The vaccine became available in 1982. A recombinant version became available in 1986. In 1991, CDC and the U.S. adopted a vaccine-based elimination strategy with a cornerstone of infant immunization and catch-up strategies for older children, adolescents, and adults with behavioral risk for hepatitis B, as well as others such as occupational risk as well. Fortunately, because of the Vaccine for Children's Program and the well-established infrastructure we have around infant and childhood immunization, the adoption of a universal infant immunization was rapidly implemented, as shown here, which has in large part been responsible for a large overall decline in the number of new or acute hepatitis B virus infections. As a result, most of the cases now of acute hepatitis B are seen in the older age groups, particularly the adult age groups. And this reflects the low vaccination coverage in this population, particularly among adults with behavioral risk. And you can look at cohort study after cohort study. Doesn't matter almost what year it's in, it always shows these low coverage levels. When we look at, well, what are opportunities to vaccinate and improve this coverage in looking at some evaluation projects and demonstration projects, as well as studies known as such as the Sentinel County study in earlier years, we show that actually a fair number of these persons had previously been in correctional facilities, been seen in an STD clinic, participated in some type of drug treatment or intervention program, representing opportunities for vaccination. This led us to revise our recommendations for adult hepatitis B vaccination, which came out in December of 06, calling for universal vaccinations in settings where a high proportion of persons can be assumed to be at risk for hepatitis B, such as the ones that are listed there. Now, leading up to that guideline, we did have a variety of demonstration projects, and many of those projects did show that clients would readily accept the vaccination, but the major barrier to getting that vaccine in these settings was the cost of the vaccine. So we have constantly looked for opportunities to increase resources for hepatitis B vaccine. Those efforts bore some fruit in fiscal year 2007 because of some changes in the 317 program, many of which I'm sure you're familiar with, changes in vaccine ordering, as well as some increase in the overall funding the Congress has been giving to this 317 line in the CDC budget, created some money that could be directed toward hepatitis B vaccine, adult hepatitis B vaccine. And $20 million, in fact, was available at the end of that fiscal year for distribution, really representing the first time CDC had ever directed money for a particular vaccine. So we put out an opportunity to receive this funding through the immunization grants that many of you receive, and this shows you the number of the states that participated or responded to that announcement, and the numbers represent the number of clinics that are receiving a vaccine through this initiative now. And hopefully you can see on the far upper left that the total number of sites is about 1,793, and that 232,712 doses have been administered over a 12-month period. When we look at the proportion of vaccine ordered versus vaccine administered by type of setting, hopefully you can see that on the far left, STD clinics, and then on the almost the far right, local health departments used about 63% of the doses that they administered. And in fact, those two settings represent about 50% of all the settings that are participating in this initiative, with lower administration use at this point for these other settings listed there. But overall, the trend is in the positive direction, and as the quarters went on from one to the other, the amount of administration, or the proportion of administration to ordering increased. And what we have heard is that we did receive positive responses from partners, that local health departments, particularly our viral hepatitis prevention coordinators, of which there are 55 in the country, in almost all states except one, and in major metropolitan areas in D.C., really appreciated this opportunity to work with the immunization programs toward this effort of improving vaccine coverage for adults. In speaking with HIV/AIDS directors, since all persons with HIV should receive this vaccine, they also value this new service for clients. And this initiative also caught the attention of Congress, as it was mentioned in our congressional language this past year. However, we recognize there are also some continued barriers. In particular, this money can only be used for the purchase of the vaccine, cannot be used to help pay for administration of the vaccine. So infrastructure is a real, issue over and above people giving the vaccine, the other things that have to be done to run an effective vaccine program. Also issues around training new staff with the goal of trying to expand the number of settings that can provide vaccine, you would need to have to train staff, and that was seen as a hindrance because the capacity wasn't there to do that, with this money that was coming through. Were really the two largest, cost and then training were really some of the two limitations that we were made most aware of, and I'm sure we'll hear a better exploration of those as well as some others here in a few moments. We recognize some limitations in the data that we have. It's just very high level surveillance of how much vaccine is being utilized and where, and then to give us some idea about what's being done. We are funding a more full-bodied evaluation through the National Association of City and County Health Officials, or NACHO. They are in the process of developing a more formal evaluation. So if you are contacted about that, I really hope that you will be open to working with them in that evaluation. As far as future years of funding, we are in the second year of funding. Money was available again. So approximately $16 million was now distributed to 48 project areas to continue this initiative. And in speaking with my NCIRD colleagues, it is anticipated that for the next several years there will be funds available to continue this initiative. So this initiative will go on for the foreseeable future, which hopefully will increase your commitment to it. And if you're not participating in it already because of concerns about the length or longevity of the funding, I hope you'll that news will help you reconsider that perspective. And this just shows you the states that are in participating in year two. The blue states participated in year one. The states in yellow are new that were in year two, but were not in year one. And the red states were those that participated in year one and are not participating in year two. And I think as part of the evaluation, we would like to know what are the factors that are causing people to come into the initiative or to exit. So that gives you an overview of the initiative. This is a reminder that hepatitis B vaccine was the first cancer-preventing vaccine. I know that HPV tried to steal that moniker, but that's not true. So we always have to remind people of that, and it is an opportunity to prevent cancer as well as other severe complications of hepatitis B infection. So thank you very much again for the time. I look forward to the questions, and I'll turn it back over to Gina. Thank you.